PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I had no idea how long that drop was going
to
be.
I was about to say, that kind of turned into a Family Guy sketch there for a second.
I was going to try to use that as my new applause button, but I don't think that's going to work out, ladies and gentlemen.
That was long.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio with Juicy Kybert.
That was like the whole A-Team intro.
It was like practically the whole thing. Yeah.
I mean, without the narration.
Yeah, I could have seen the entire, I saw the entire montage
face,
go by.
Smurtal, the van, helicopter,
No guns.
Well, maybe you saw a gun, but never got shot. Never got fired.
No, they used guns, but you're right. They didn't really fire them. I mean, unless you're talking about the new movie. But then again, did they really fire guns, were they just getting shot at the entire time?
Yeah, maybe they're definitely getting shot at. But at one point, they're also firing a tank. But that was just to break their fall.
Yeah. You're right. It was.
Oh, well, man.
And to move the tank.
That was actually pretty.
That was a fun scene.
I'll give them points for that.
That whole movie was. Dude, Charlton Copley plays the insane pilot who does upside down helicopter tricks.
I thought it was like not a bad movie. All right. This is not.
It wasn't a good movie.
This is not an A-Team appreciation bonus episode.
It was not a good movie.
That is coming down the road.
Maybe not a bad one.
Maybe not. It was an entertaining movie. So
definitely entertaining.
Definitely entertaining. Yeah. We are hanging out in the Crespediso studio. I got Drusick Cogman over here already. Here's the air horn again. Just in case he didn't hear it the first time around, I want to make sure he gets his full ear horn of air horn. But we are chilling with our friends from the Second Rounds podcast. First, he's been here before. He's here again, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tommy James. Yeah, Tommy.
Hello. What's going on, man?
The man with two first names.
That's right.
Tim Jim.
Yeah,
anyone,
I like that.
Anyone ever call you Tim Jim?
No.
Did I just break ground there with Tim Jim?
I think you did.
Oh, yeah. We might have to make sure that it doesn't stay that way.
What up, Tim Jim?
Hashtag Tim Jim.
Oh, no. You're Tim Jim from now on here.
It's over. If you're lucky,
sorry, Tim Jim.
I remember to name the episode Tim Jim. If I remember.
That's great. I hope you don't.
Yeah. Step into a Tim Jim. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many ways can we make this steak? And you brought with you a friend, a fellow cohort in the second rounds all the way from New York.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, Alex is here. Yeah, Alex, what's up, buddy?
Hello, everyone. I'm Alex A. Town Ryan from Second Rounds NYC.
Nice.
It is good to be here in Florida, the beautiful state.
Yes. Is it warm enough for you? Well, actually, no. Let me take that back. Is it humid enough for you?
I haven't been hit with the hard humidity because New York, we've been getting it a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
So
it's actually different now. You know, with the Arctic stream being pushed down, the jet stream and the longer summers. Now the hot summers, like the rest of the country,
yeah.
We're kind of like almost... cool a little bit.
Winter won't come for us. Well, fall won't really hit until like November.
Really?
Well, at least
it stays for a week and then December.
At least you get fall. Yeah. We don't even get fall. It's summer, not so hot. Cold for 3 weeks, not so hot, back to hot.
But really, winter isn't coming now till November, or fall isn't coming till November?
No, yeah, it's going to be...
Dude,
like,
I mean...
I remember crisp September days. I mean,
there has been moments where I remember even... April, you're sitting there, snow.
Freezing.
And
you're, exactly.
Playing baseball and it's
occasional game gets snowing out. Occasionally,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, it wasn't getting cold down here until like January or February last year.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What's global climate change? What is that? Global warming?
Climate change.
What is that? Anyway.
It's a thing that's happening that we have to
deal
with.
Bunch of nonsense is what it is. I don't know what you're talking about. It's a bunch of... So thank you for joining us.
No problem.
You're here in Florida. Thank you for spending your time to hang out with us. We appreciate it.
Yes.
As we go over a bunch of movie stories and a couple of TV stories. But first, we have a spillover email from last week's show. We have a segment called the Vox Populi. That's an intro that goes like this.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
What you say?
you see something, you let us know by emailing us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Drew, take it away.
P.S. I know I'm running long, but I also wanted to share a couple of in-theater encounters that I've had during each of the movies from last week, Black Klansman and The Meg.
Because this is Scott's follow-up email to his previous email.
Because
that's why it's a P.S.
Like,
that's why it's a P.S. Postscript.
I think his P.S. is longer than his actual email.
Well, that's why we saved it.
I'm just saying. It's supposed to be a postscript. Like, it's supposed to be
five paragraphs.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, yeah, no, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine paragraphs.
Well, look,
that's an addendum.
Okay. Well, first you have your thesis statement, all right? And then you need your five supporting paragraphs. And then you need your four paragraphs of summation.
For your MLA format, yeah.
Yeah, did you give credit? No. The credit's been given?
Yeah, exactly. What are the proper citations? Can you pass around the bibliography while you're...
There is no bibliography attached.
I mean, just so we can see the annotated... It's a C number 3, New York Times. Go ahead.
All right. In Black Klansman, a medium-sized theater has maybe 20 people in it, but one big black dude chooses to sit in the back row with me.
Oh, like Alex!
Six seats away. Right. So you apparently saw Black Klansman with this guy.
I did.
So of course, I'm muttering to myself, come on, man, why you gotta crowd my space? And then, 10 minutes into the movie, I learn why he wanted the back row. He starts unwrapping his dinner, which must have been wrapped in a 30-gallon trash bag because I heard his solid 15 seconds of plastic bag being unfurled. And to top it off, the signature sound of a can being opened. This motherfucker. Now I certainly don't begrudge myself, or begrudge people sneaking food into theaters. Mm-hmm. Hell, I sneak myself into the theater. Just please don't sneak loud foods, damn it. To his credit, he ate his food quietly and everything was good.
All right.
Until Nick Turturro showed up in the movie.
Who?
Nick Turturro?
Oh, okay. The brother of John.
Yes.
Okay.
Then I heard him talking loudly to himself. That dude's Hispanic. Why is he in the Klan? Then later, in a more intense and dramatic scene, I hear him again. Ain't he Hispanic? I thought he's Hispanic. Why he in the Klan? After about the fifth audible comment, I got a little fed up and responded, whispering only loud enough for him to hear, that guy's Italian. And he replies, oh, for real? Thanks, my brother. That mildly annoying as the guy had been, the dude completely won me over with that.
All right, so there you go. If someone's audibly asking a question in the movie theater, maybe just, sometimes they need
to answer.
Yeah, just
help him out.
Was he by himself?
It sounds like he was.
Yeah, he needed help. Sure. It's like, because normally I would be like, yo, is it me, Spanish? Is it Italian? Oh, is that guy? And that's it.
Yeah. But even then, though, I would question, why is an Italian in the Klan? It doesn't make any sense, especially in the 70s. Come on now. Maybe why? These days.
Why? Because...
Well, I'm saying back then the Klan wouldn't accept Italians.
Yeah, they could pass for white. I mean,
no, I'm saying there's that weird 60s, 70s thing where the...
During that time, they were very specific.
Yes, ethnic whites have only recently have dropped the ethnic part of it. I'm recently very fascinated.
We're losing the demographic quick. So.
Yeah, so we have to accept open it up. Irish is now acceptable. Italians are acceptable. Certain shades of Jewish, you're fine. As long as you don't flaunt that Jewishness, you're good to go.
There literally used to be signs outside on people's... This is a business that said no dogs or Irish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Straight up.
And then first they dropped dogs off that list. Yep. And then the Irish. When did they get that privilege, man? They got that privilege. It's pretty amazing. I'm just fascinated by the whole ethnic white thing.
Yeah.
So that's what happened during Black Klansman?
Yes.
Here's another experience?
So in The Meg.
Oh my god.
A bigger, much fuller theater, but still plenty of...
I was going to say a bigger, much fuller
black guy. Like, oh man.
That's what we thought. Just to be honest.
That's
what we're waiting for.
but still plenty of empty seats. So when a guy sits down in the seat directly in front of me, my spatial sensors were again triggered.
That's annoying.
And once again, about 10 minutes into the movie, he opens the dinner he smuggled into the theater.
Well, two people.
But this time, it was barbecue.
Oh.
I don't know if it was pulled pork or ribs or chicken or brisket. All I know is it smelled good.
Yeah, barbecue, baby. All right.
I gotta give this guy props because I ain't never smelled a full barbecue plate in a theater before. I can't imagine it was easy to sneak that in. And if it was ribs, sneaking out the bones adds a second degree of difficulty.
No, you leave the bones for some sad sack. I mean, I'm sorry to say, you treat the theater employees like crap. That's what everyone does.
That's pretty much what we all do. Put it under your chair.
Under chair or in the cup holder.
Leave it alone.
Someone finds a stray bone 2 theater screens later.
I must admit, the 15 to 20 minutes of that wonderfully sweet and and smoky aroma lingering in the air was indeed the best part of my experience watching the Meg.
Oh, no!
Tommy, did you get disappointed there, buddy?
I was so excited. I read the book, and like...
It's a very popular book.
And
yeah.
I love Jaws. Like, I love like sharks in general, and I do...
Giant shark movies should be great.
It's a megalodon.
The reviews haven't been good, though.
You know what it is? A lot of people... I don't mean to cut you off.
No, sorry.
Like, they were saying that... it knows what it is, though. Like, it doesn't take itself too serious.
Sure, so. But maybe it doesn't.
Apparently, that is the issue with the movie. Apparently, movie,
yeah.
Apparently, they don't choose what it is. They don't decide to be campy, or they try to ride the line, and apparently it does not work.
They should have gone for audacious, over the top, without being campy. Yeah. Deep Blue Sea, okay?
Right. Thank you. The greatest shark movie ever made.
I mean, except for Jaws, obviously. But
deepest blue. I'll fight a shark spin, bro.
I will people fight to the death on that. That's fine.
I will be on Chris's side.
Yeah, Jaws. There's no way. Jaws is. I mean, look, we can settle the argument right now.
Shallows is pretty good too.
No, we can settle the argument right now between Jaws and Deep Blue Sea. Go ahead and hum that amazing Deep Blue Sea theme song that everyone knows right away. Is Deep Blue Sea. I said Deep Blue Sea, not Jaws.
Deepest blue is my head is like a shark's face.
I said hum it. Stroke. You guys all right? Sounds like you're stroking out. You okay? Yeah. You got Bell's palsy, Jim?
Yes. Yes.
Deep Blue Sea, like, is fun and ridiculous and over the top, but it doesn't, like, try to be bad, like a Sharknado. Yeah, it's just like, let's just go crazy and kill Samuel Jackson halfway through this
one
movie.
One of the best death scenes.
This is incredible. It's so fun. There. It's so amazing. And then the shark is like, is it trying to open? I think it's trying to open the oven or turn it on. it's really strange.
They're psychic sharks.
Exactly, yes. Or it could go like The Shallows, where The Shallows was much more just serious. Yeah. Let's just take it straightforward.
I mean, and then
it works on its own terms.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Meg is trying to do both. It wants to be The Shallows and...
It was supposed to originally be rated R because they were going to do it with more gore, which from the book standpoint...
It only makes sense.
I was like, that would be perfect.
It's a shark attack movie.
There's some deaths in that book that would be perfect on screen. Yeah. But once I heard PG-13, I said, oh, you might have messed up.
They were afraid to alienate the numbers.
Yes.
They were just... It was like, we can't.
But then, can you really argue with them financially? When it made $40 million, that was a little ahead of their expectations for opening weekend. So then maybe for them, they can say, look, we're right. We made the money that we wanted to make. But then you got a bunch of people like, yeah, I wanted to love this movie, but I can't. You know, like Piranha 3D. Oh my God, that movie is wild. That's a crazy movie. A severed penis floats to the bottom of the lake.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
And
what, in the first scene, it's, who is it? Who plays the old man who gets eaten by the piranhas?
It's Richard Dreyfuss.
It's just like, whoa.
I forgot about that.
Richard Dreyfuss gets eaten by the piranhas in the first scene. And that's how the movie opens. And it's like, okay, well then.
Unfortunately, it sounds like that's the best thing that the Meg has given us, an opportunity to talk about other shark movies and fish movies like Piranha. And
he's feeling it right now.
I am. I do have to still see it.
Go see it then. If you read the book, you got
to
see it.
I know. I definitely need to see it.
And then you got to be like, this is how they screwed
it. This is all he's been looking forward to.
Yeah.
The moment the movie wasn't...
the problem is the marketing never got me.
No.
I wanted to agree with that. The Meg, great. Jason Statham. Yes, it'll be great. No. And then I saw the marketing and I was like...
I'm like, I can't wait to see Jason Statham kick a shark underwater.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Kick a shark, punch a shark. Yeah. This is fine. I'm okay with this.
Drive an Audi up its nose or something. Exactly. I don't know. Oh, man. Okay, back to Scott's email. I'm sorry, Scott.
I guess the moral of these stories is we all hate it when people credit us unnecessarily at the movies.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it sucks. But on rare occasions, human interaction actually pays off.
Very rare occasions, Scott. Every now and then, human interaction does pay off. Biggest thing that you can think of that you can remember that you smuggled into a movie theater? Biggest, like, meal, food item, or a difficult drink, maybe?
750 bottle of rum.
Wow. What, backpack?
No, big baggy pants. This was in the 90s. Yeah. This was in the 90s. I'm a skinny guy, dude. If I got baggy pants, I got some room down there.
Some JNCOs.
They weren't JNCOs, but they were very baggy.
Gotcha.
Had a lot of room.
So big old bottle of rum. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. Juggy over here.
Definitely a number 4 Wendy's meal.
A number 4? The whole thing?
The whole number 4.
Fries and a drink.
But the drink, because I had like cargo pants when you had the big cargo baggy pants. Days.
Yep.
So it's just that you had to walk very carefully. Like,
yes.
Especially as a drink.
Yeah, so you just walked with like just to keep that, and you keep your hand just to
just right there.
Just be like, this guy, look at this cool guy.
Yeah,
this guy's badass.
Please don't let this coke just trickle down my leg, because I'm gonna just be like, I pissed myself.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's when I would just switch to Frosty and then hit up the
Frosty. That's what I should have.
A little more solid.
Yes.
Yeah, one.
I actually was able to sneak in a bottle of Tanqueray, but I put it in my back.
Oh, yeah, like you stuck a gun in the butt ass of your jeans.
Exactly. Yep. And because I still had a backpack on, like one of those string backpacks, it actually helped and protect it, where they were just like, oh, just backpack.
Oh,
but back when, especially the movie theater in Cheapside that we used to go to, they don't give a crap. You could walk in with a gun. They'd be like, that's cool. We're going to see it in a movie.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like a lot of theater employees are underpaid and they don't overworked.
And also because they're young, too.
And they're young.
Yeah, they're young. They
it's a lot of them their first job.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't pay me enough to care.
Exactly. They're keeping an eye out for their friends to let them in.
Oh, yes.
I remember in college, my friends were
here. A friend of ours, Mark, that's how he gets in. Like, he's like, yo, like for Black Panther, I went to go see the first at 7.
Yeah.
And I called him. He's like, yeah, just wait. We'll go in. And mind you, these people saw me pay the first time and just let me in right with my friend Mark.
There you go.
Second time. I was like,
it's all
awesome.
About who you know. It's all
exactly.
About who you know.
Exactly.
I think the biggest thing I ever brought in once when I was in college, a whole from Subway, a chicken piazzola foot long sub.
Oh, nice.
I brought one of those whole things. I wrapped it in my lap and sauce and cheese. I'm sure everywhere. I had stains on my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember the movie, but I remember the sandwich. Can't remember the movie, but I remember the sandwich.
It wasn't that good.
Neither of them were that good. But the experience of the sandwich.
The sandwich must have been better.
The sandwich was hot.
Ah.
The sandwich was hot. The movie was not. Here we go.
Hi-yo.
Hi-yo. That's crisp poetry in motion right there. All right, guys. Let's pull up some movie stories here. I have some interesting stories. Did you hear about the Kevin Spacey movie that opened up this weekend?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
$126.
It went up a little bit. $126 is opening day.
Yeah.
We have a weekend estimate now. The whole weekend is $287.
I mean, it's in what, one theater?
Where?
It is in, let's see if it says, Billionaire Boys Club opened in 10 cities, Drew.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Wow. That means it had to have been at least one person in each.
At least.
Maybe. One or two. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
That's a date movie? Hey, you want to go see the new Kevin Spacey split?
Hey, yeah. You want to give me a handy in this theater? No one else is going to be there. Yeah, it's the perfect place to hook up. Let's see if it has a budget here. I want to see if it has. I don't think it has a budget. Oh. But oof, that's bad. Billionaire Boys Club. Obviously, no marketing. They just put it out there. This is probably one of those deals where it's probably in Kevin Spacey's contract. A lot of people have things in their contract where this movie must get a theatrical release. It must play in a theater, and then they're like, "All right, fine. This piece of shit will play in." Two theaters in L.A., and then, like, not even in L.A. proper. Like, one in Sonoma Valley, and then one out in, like, Marina Del Rey. Good luck going to those places. In New York City, well, actually, the theaters in New York City suck, don't they? It's a pretty bad situation.
No, the
options are great, but the theaters
the Lincoln Square, isn't that the best one?
Yeah.
Lincoln.
That's the best one.
That's an amazing theater.
The big IMAX.
That's the one where they show the 2001 A Space Odyssey when they did that screening. Billy went to that.
Bill,
no. PSA was put on our Facebook group by Justin, I think. 2001 A Space Odyssey will be playing in theaters in Orlando starting on Thursday.
Oh.
Drew, you in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course I'm in.
2001 Air Horn. I have not seen 2001 on any big screen.
No.
Like in any format whatsoever.
The biggest screen is a 55-inch TV.
Whatever TV I see. Yeah, absolutely. So,
and he said, that's an experience you have to...
Oh, my God. I want to so bad. So if the rumors are true, which I have no reason to doubt our homie Justin, that's what we got going on. It's either that or I go see that Kevin Spacey movie. If that's playing.
But what if the movie's actually good?
In alternate dimension, Mr. Robot style.
It's nominated for
good.
Best picture.
Awesome. It's a secret gem. That would be incredible if it was. No, because then they would have CG'd him out and put in Christopher Plummer.
We think
we have a shot.
Oh,
Christopher Plummer,
that's
get him
hilarious.
In there.
That's what he won an Oscar.
Yeah.
I was like, God, that's
he was actually really good too.
He was.
Movie was okay, right? Movie was
It was what it was.
Kind of forgettable. Funny how they also did a TV show with Brendan Fraser playing the Mark Wahlberg part, and then who's playing the Michelle Williams part?
They're doing a TV show?
It's done. TV show's done. It's called Trust.
Oh.
Yeah, it was on FX. They did a whole season.
I think I heard.
And it's the same All the Money in the World, the same J. Paul Getty story. Who played J. Paul Getty? I have none of the information. Why did I bring this up? Guys, you hear about this new Liam Neeson's movie?
Nope.
Called Hard Powder.
Excuse me?
Yes.
It's about drugs?
Yes.
Okay.
And snowplows.
Oh, good.
Oh, snowplows and drugs?
Liam Neeson is the snowplow driver who gets caught up in some sort of drug revenge.
He could do any job.
No, that's it.
Like, he could do any. He could be a Jedi.
He can't do anything. Now, the funny thing about this, and then this article that I pulled up points this out. The first time I saw anything about this Hard Powder movie was online on the interwebs. You know how fast the interwebs devour stuff and turns into memes and spits it out. Yeah. It's on to the next thing already. The first thing I even saw about Liam Neeson Hard Powder was comparing it to Homer and Barney,
Mr. Plow, and the Snow King,
the Plow King. And apparently the internet is rife with Hard Powder Liam Neeson Plow King memes already. So,
are they going to get, was Dolly Parton that sang the theme?
The Mr. Plow.
No, well, yeah, for the Plow King.
Yeah, the Plow King. Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr.
No,
Plow.
No, but
my
baby, me, the Plow King.
That's right. The one-up competition. Yeah. I haven't seen episode 4 ever.
That's in my brain.
It's one of the, like, the classic 90s Simpsons. Oh, man. So there we go. There's a Liam Neeson movie that's a secret Mr. Plow.
He better run over someone with a snowplow.
He better.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah. That only makes sense.
Yeah. And it has to be R-rated because, Drew, as you know, blood looks best on snow.
Oh, of course. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, dude, 30 Days of Night, that's why it's the only reason I even watch that movie is because there's so much red blood on powder white snow. It's fucking beautiful.
Danny Houston not only chewing on scenery as well.
Yeah, oh, man. And just looking at people dead face saying, no God.
No God.
It's like, yes!
Oh, thanks, Danny. I wonder if Angelica Houston saw this. Like, Danny, what are you doing with your
collecting life? A paycheck. Did you see the house of bought?
Yeah, those paychecks. All right, Fantastic Four. Did you guys see it? The most recent one, though.
Fan Four Stick. Yeah.
Fan Four Stick. That's why they put the four in there. Marketing.
I know enough.
Michael B. Jordan. That's awesome.
No. He's the best, man. I love him so much.
No.
I've been on him since Fruitful Station.
Chris wants to have his babies.
I want to have all his babies. All
right, here's the irony.
His babies, Channing Tatum's babies.
He'll know this. I'm on the same
he's
boat.
A great, he's a great actor, and he deserves everything he gets, but it's solely for the reason that this guy likes him.
Yeah.
That I don't. I can't.
Okay.
And it's become an art form.
Yeah.
Because I remember we had one argument, and then I was playing the video game NBA 2K17 or 16.
Okay,
and I'm putting the game on, and he is the main person next to your career mode.
Okay.
I hit this gup right away, like son of a. Now I had to get used to playing with Michael B. Jordan in the career mode.
That's so funny,
and I'm like, this is a curse. Someone hates me.
Michael B.
That
Jordan,
and they make him a vital teammate to you. Like he's a special character.
So he's there all the time,
no matter what team you're on. He's there, amazing. And I had to look at his face for a year, and I was so happy when the next one was like, oh. Gone.
Give
garbage.
Shit. That's get out amazing. Of here, Michael B. Jordan.
Until Black Panther.
Until Black Panther.
Yeah.
He was like, so pissed because I kept telling him, I was like, watch him be in this movie.
Dude, of course. Yeah.
And be great. After Creed. Creed 2 coming out later this year. The marketing for that one, as opposed to the Meg, looking pretty good.
It does. Yeah, it does.
They know better.
And then they do know better, I think. And I saw the movie. It's on Netflix called The Land, based on Cleveland, The Land.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote and directed that movie is the one that they got to direct Creed 2.
Okay.
And it's a pretty good movie. I checked it out because, if this is the Creed 2 guy, I got to see this movie.
Right.
And it's kind of like almost like an urban, way less salacious kids.
Yeah.
It's about a bunch of street kids, skateboarding, hanging out in Cleveland, and then like knocking over people and like just trying to get by and doing petty crimes and stuff like that. And then they get in over their head, that type of thing. With drugs, I think, is that type of thing. Have you seen it yet?
No.
It's pretty good. It's worth watching on Netflix. And I was all right, this guy, I think he's got the chops. He's pretty good. Because that's what happened with Creed. Ryan Coogler made Fruitful Station.
Yeah.
And then they showed that to Sylvester Stallone. And said, all right, this guy might have the chops. And then Stallone was going to direct Creed 2 because they couldn't find a director because Coogler was busy with Black Panther.
Right.
And
they didn't want to wait. That was the thing.
Exactly.
They didn't want to wait for him to be done with Black Panther so that he could focus.
Precisely.
But like, look, especially with Jordan, he's going to be in hot. We need both.
We have to make the schedule happen. Yeah. We want to hit release dates. Like 100%. That's the truth. So then it ended up being Stallone. almost, I think, would think reluctantly stepped in to be a director. And
I know
and
he wrote this one.
He definitely co-wrote it, and then he stepped out of the director's chair because he knew. And then when he did this, I was like, oh, this is fucking hashtag Me Too. Shit's coming down. He is going to get hit with some crazy accusations. And then it took a while. Yeah. He stepped down from director. They hired this dude. They've been making the movie. And then, like, a couple months ago, quietly, some accusations came out. Like, hardcore, like, rape accusations. Ooh. But for some reason, that one got swept under the rug. No one's really talking about the Stallone stuff, which is interesting.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Yeah, that's
weird. Because, part of the reason is there were so many stories, so many names are getting thrown out there that it's easy to cherry pick this one, take that one.
Right.
I also think his shit came out around the same time when the Weinstein stuff was really like, he's being arrested. These are the charges. So it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. But that's why he stopped being director and they found someone else. So we'll see. I hope the movie's good. I want it to be good. Yeah. I love the Creed movie.
I have no opinion about what
he just won't look
at Michael B. Jordan. That's fine. Okay. Well, the reason we brought up Michael B. Jordan in the first place went off of that tangent. He was in Fantastic Four, maybe the best part of that movie. I wanted to like it. It was
trash. The beginning was okay, but then
pretty good setup.
Once they got their powers, that you were like,
yeah,
you screwed up.
It's weird, hard. Like halfway through, because that's what they reshot.
No, they said it's literally two movies.
Yes,
in one.
We know someone. Shout out to Nikki Wilson. Yeah. We know someone who shot on that film, and she told us off mic
everything. She told us
all.
We got
stuff.
All the dirt.
Okay,
we
look, I'll just say I'm not.
We know exactly
it's been years now, and in this story itself, someone else on the crew is throwing the movie under the bus. So I don't think she's gonna get it. We're not gonna get it. Yeah. Plus, no one's listening. It's fine. I'll just say two words, and then I'll say what this quote is here. Fantastic car.
Mm-hmm. Oh
yes.
Goodness!
Straight up, like done. It was done.
Done. Filmed.
Filmed.
Everything.
And then they're like, "We are cutting this out."
Yep.
Fantastic car is gone. The writer for Fantastic Four, one of the screenwriters of this most recent one, he is the writer on what's he doing the rounds on right now? It. He's one of the co-writers on It.
Okay.
All right. He's written a bunch of stuff. Fantastic Four is just one of the things he's worked on.
Okay.
And then we're talking about the reshoots and everything. It's not his original script anyway.
Okay, that's a good thing. Yeah.
But he did tweet this out. Someone asked him about something. He said, "I finally got my foot in the door. I only had three dream projects on my bucket list. One was Marvel, parentheses, sorry about that one, guys, close parentheses. One was Star Wars, and the third, of course, was Stephen King." Is it for It that he's talking about? I think it's for...
I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Tommyknockers. Mm. So he's working on the Tommyknockers film with James Wan, the director of Conjuring, and Saw, man. And now Aquaman coming up. So they're doing a bit because It was a big hit.
Yeah.
Because poetry in motion.
Yep.
They're now reviving anything Stephen King from the 80s. So
are we going to get the Langoliers again? Can I get giant sawtooth meatballs?
I want to see the Langoliers. I love the Langoliers.
I want giant sawtooth meatballs.
I am totally down with a brand new Langoliers, but it has to be two conditions.
Well, sawtooth meatballs?
No, that's obviously. No, that's in the story. Yeah. It's in the story. No. Has to be two conditions. Condition number one, it must be a made-for-TV movie. Just like the original must be made
totally
for
cool
TV.
Yeah, great.
And number two, Bronson Pinchot must come back. Any role, doesn't have to be the same role. Yeah. He must come back.
Nice.
I love it. It's so bad. I love Langoliers. It's so bad. Dude, but it's so weird. No, I was like 14 when I
came back. My father used to try to scare me with them when I was a kid. He used to tell me, he used to be like, if you keep this shit up... gonna get the Langoliers,
dude. Everybody,
and then I finally saw the movie.
Well, no, dude. Everybody,
that's hysterical. They're gonna erase your existence.
When the movie was coming up, like it was, the commercials were on TV, and I knew a lot of friends who had read Stephen King. They were like, "It's a good story. You should watch it." And I'm watching this stuff, and then the fucking sawtooth meatballs coming. I'm like, "What the fuck is going on, dude?" Man. They are meatballs with chainsaws from out.
And even then, in the mid '90s, I was like, "This is a wonky looking like computer effect. I can't even imagine looking at it now with my 2018 eyes." Like, what is this?
This is trash.
What is this nonsense?
Just so you know, I have not seen the movie, and I don't plan on it.
No, you should watch it.
One thing about me, I do not mess with horror films.
Okay,
I did watch it
at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it
horror. It's made for TV.
It's
time travel.
It's Twilight Zone-y.
It's a psychological
type of a movie.
Because it's all about a plane of people who the plane goes missing and they end up in like some alternate dimension.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right?
They end up in the past.
They end up in the past, is it?
Right,
yeah.
And then they go back in time.
No, well, it's not that they go back in time. It's time moves forward, and for some reason, time moved Dawn without them. Yeah. So they got
They get left behind.
They got left behind in the past. And the Langoliers are giant sawtooth meatballs that come and eat the past away.
They eat the past away. They eat the waste.
That's imagery I don't need. That's like
it's weird.
At this point in time in your life, you would laugh at it.
Yeah. You would laugh so hard. So, dude, I laughed when I was 14.
I'm not into horror movies at all. Never have been in my life. Yeah. I like good movies. If it's a horror movie, then I like it. Like,
I gave it a chance. Exactly. Like, I watched it.
But, like, even then when I saw Langoliers, I was like, the what was happening was crazy, but, like, the effect is so cheesy.
It's
so
very cheesy.
This is so corny.
Yeah, very cheesy.
Speaking of Stephen King, so they're shooting It Chapter 2 right now.
Yeah.
They have their adult cast playing the adult losers going up against Skarsgård.
Bill Skarsgård.
Bill Skarsgård. Thank you very much. Many of them now.
The pretty one.
They're all the pretty one.
He's the prettiest.
My girl loves him. Like, even as
Because he's the youngest, that's why. Because he's the youngest.
She's just like, I don't know what it is, but he's sexy.
I think it may be an age thing. I'm still floating towards Alexander, my son.
He's in True
Tarzan?
And there's another one that's from my favorite show, like, recently, Vikings.
That's the other one.
And the father, Stellar Skarsgård.
Yeah. He's in Thor.
Stellar.
Yeah, all
he is Stellar.
I love him.
His name is Stellan.
Yeah.
He is Stellar.
All right, so
look at those jeans.
He's the best of all the Skarsgårds.
He's the best actor, but his wife must have the looks. Because
oh, God, yeah. He is so ugly.
It doesn't make sense.
In terms of, like, international fans, do you think Skarsgårds or the Hemsworths?
I'm going, okay, great question.
That's actually a really good question.
I'm going Skarsgård solely because it's generational. We have father,
I agree,
and then sons. The Hemsworths are making it happen right now. It's a bunch of brothers. The dad, have you seen the dad?
Nah.
He's a hunk.
Of course he is.
He's a goddamn surfing Australian hunk.
I'm sure their parents are like Mr. and Mrs. Australia.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. For some reason, I haven't seen the picture of the mom. I'm sure. Yeah, she's milk crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole family's wild.
She's probably in her mid-50s, and you'd probably be like, damn, I'd hit that.
To the point where the Hemsworth on Westwood is the bum-looking one, and he's like still like just a fine-looking dude. It's like,
that's a decent looking man.
He's a decent looking man. But he compares him to the other Hemsworths.
There he is.
Is that the dad?
The beach photo.
He's got abs.
Yeah.
It's Australia.
Oh, he's beating me, man.
It's also because it's Australia. It's harder living out there.
Everything
wants to kill you.
Everything. That entire continent's a perpetual nightmare.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be a prison colony.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You were supposed to go there for punishment.
Yes. And they were like, fuck that, we're turning this into home.
Yeah, you were supposed to become a whole independent nation. supposed to suffer.
Well, first they had to do a whole lot of ethnic cleansing. Just like every nation.
Shout out to our Maori listeners. I don't think we have not a single even half Maori
Aboriginal listeners. Do you have any of them? Because a lot of them died too.
I think Maori is both New Zealand and Australia. James McAvoy hurt himself on the set of It Chapter 2 in a fight scene, fighting the Pennywise. You guys want to take a guess as to what the injury may be? Drew.
He twisted his ankle.
Okay, that's a good guess, Tom.
I'm going to say...
Tim Jim.
No, you were good with the Tom. Tim Jim. I'm going to go with a broken jaw.
Broken jaw. Good guess. Okay.
I'm going to say thighs.
Because you knew the story.
Yeah.
That's not a fucking story.
Double thigh strain. Thigh strain.
What were you doing?
Because he's used to sitting in the chair as Professor X.
He's used to not using his legs.
Well, I was about to say,
but then he's the beast, though.
He's been huge recently as a beast.
He had to get all swole.
Yeah.
I think there's obviously CG trickery, like 300 style going on. CG painting. He can't. He's not. Anyway. Double thigh strain.
Weird.
What is that? How do you double thigh strain?
Maybe he was sitting in the chair and he got double thigh knifed.
No, because in the picture would be like, well, here are the knives. Because he put on an Instagram post of a couple of ice packs on its thighs.
That's it?
No, and then a whole paragraph about like what's going on and an update and everything. You know, these guys are all social media savvy now, marketing savvy. Yeah, double thigh strain.
So weird.
Come on, McAvoy.
He probably jumped on his back.
Like, what the hell, man?
Mid-30s, you know, it's like any athlete. When you're in your mid-30s, your body starts falling apart.
It starts falling apart.
Just like all of us, you know. I mean, we do our best to be a triathlete. But, yeah. Funny, you're in Orlando right now. You know who else is in Orlando? Who? Oprah TV.
oh, I'm about some beer.
Yeah. No, not Oprah. No, she... not even a. Oh, I guess for a Disney World thing. Maybe.
Yeah,
most if they made if they opened Oprah Land at Disney World, she'd come to cut the ribbon for that.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that would not be amazing.
Oprah Winfrey Network, the OWN network, is doing a show called David Makes Man, and this TV series is shooting here in Orlando. Oh. They actually built a big, elaborate pink set. Here's a picture, an aerial picture. Let's see if I can kind of blow it up for you guys so you can see. Yeah, here you go. Yeah, this definitely. Look at that movie set. It looks like a motel, maybe like a two-story '50s pink motel. Almost think of the Florida Project, you know, that type of thing. And they built that on the grounds of a high school.
Looks like a motel
over by Universal Studios. Let me show this to Drew over here. Right? Doesn't that look like Florida Project style? Right?
Yeah.
192 Kissimmee area, totally. Shitty hotels. That is the eight. Is that your hood?
That's my hood.
Shout outs. 3-2, what's the...
It's just shit.
It's just 3-2 shit, oh shit.
3-2 shit.
I know 3-2-808's Pine Hills. So, yeah, I remember that from checking real estate, looking for homes when I bought this place. I was like, oh, 3-2-808. Okay, no, it's a no.
We do not... Yeah, we're not moving into 3-2-808.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. It's a 1950s styles complex, and I want to give a shout-out to the school, Dr. Phillips High School.
Okay.
It's being built on the grounds of Dr. Phillips High School. So they're pretty cool that, you know, there's been a big thing here, Alex, for the last few years where our awesome GOP-led state government has let all the film and TV initiatives dry up, despite our Florida Film Board, crying, we need these initiatives, we need tax incentives. They let them all dry up in the last few years, and everything has moved out of state, including...
Atlanta, and just not that far either. Yeah. They all went to Atlanta.
They all go over the border. Except for our biggest production at the time, Ballers.
Really?
HBO's Ballers.
Miami.
Which was shot in Miami. Yeah, I was about to say.
That's Miami.
Now it's in Vegas.
Really?
Oh, yes. They moved
to Vegas. Oh, yeah, that's because one of the themes is The Rock wanted to invest in a football team. In Vegas.
There you go. They had to come up with a storyline.
That's why they did it.
That's why they moved the show from Miami, because all the incentives dried up and they weren't getting any money to shoot there anymore.
Wow.
Nevada will give us money. And,
of course.
And most of our crew lives in California anyway.
So it's just a simple drive. Yeah. Wow.
It's just giving people reason to not provide work and not provide jobs here.
And you know, of course, I'm from New York. That is the number one, one of the top.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They have whole studios. Once you know, like a lane of streets are just blocked off.
Yep.
They're about to shoot. And then the trucks come. Everything.
We just happened to see one. We were in February. What was the name of that place?
It's probably Law and Order.
First we were joking. It was Law and Order. But then when I actually looked at it, and then I considered the time period, I took a wild guess, and then also the fact that my cousin, who lives in, because this is when we went to the Museum of the Moving Image. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was right around Astoria, Queens, where it was all shut down.
Yeah.
And my cousin, who lives, I think, in Brooklyn, saw James Caan. He's like, I haven't seen James Caan a lot lately.
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese at that time was shooting his movie with, I don't know what the name of it, but with De Niro, Pesci.
The Irishman.
The Irishman. That's the one where they're doing all the CG de-aging of all the characters. And they're going to play different time periods.
Oh, this is going to be
And I was like, oh, I bet you. And then the name of the film permits I wrote up, you know, how they use fake titles. It was like Pasta Fazool or like something. Like, I was like, oh, this is definitely a mob movie. Like, I think this is the Martin Scorsese movie. I think this is it.
I'm excited.
Looking around, didn't see shit. This was right outside the theater. And so right next to that museum is the production studios for Henson, Sesame Street Workshop and all that stuff is right there. Right next to the... So they have the Museum of the Moving Image, and then right next to that's a big complex that's connected with like a walkover bridge. Yeah. And I forgot the exact name of that studio, but the Sesame Workshop is in that studio.
Yeah.
New York City is amazing, man. I love New York.
This thing's even... Man, we've been there for almost our whole lives.
We're still learning.
Our own.
We didn't have time. I wanted to take this guy to the village so I could just show him the door to Electric Ladyland Studios. It's like, if you walk up those stairs, that's where Jimi Hendrix was 50 years ago. And then it's literally just a door. But I remember just walking through the village one day, and I just stopped. I was like, and there's a little sign. I was like, Electric Ladyland Studios. This is a real place. Mm-hmm. Like, how come there's not a mob of people out here, like worshiping at the
last
door?
Time I was
leaving tokens of appreciation.
Last time I was there with Bill, like, we got lunch somewhere, and we were just walking to the subway. Casually, he was like, that's the old Andy Warhol studio. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
look at that.
And in your head, you're like,
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. In my head, I'm like, oh my god, the history, the sandwich is delicious. I need to get on the subway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, New York, it's fast paced. Go, go, go. On they go. Here, Orlando, it's much more chill. So when the OWN network shows up and they build a set on a high school field, Chris people are like, shit, pay attention. We're actually getting work. That's amazing. That's super cool. You know, it's probably gonna be a shit show.
Well, yeah, like Georgia took everything. Georgia took everything. Built that studio, so it's like everyone's come. Oh yeah, we'll use Black Panther to get everyone. Is coming.
Everybody.
Marvel themselves.
If this Nobody's Fool movie has more than 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, I'm going to see it in theaters. I'm going to see it. That trailer actually looks like, I think this movie actually looks funny. And then parts of that trailer made me think Tiffany Haddish is having a sort of 90s Jim Carrey career at this moment, where she's like the comedy that she's being thrown into. It's just like we need that Tiffany Haddish flavor. Just throw her in,
spice it up,
let her do her thing,
just be herself.
Yes, she and got then every school. Yeah, that's the thing too. I was gonna say, every time I see this Nobody's Fool trailer, it's almost immediately followed by the Night School trailer.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, wait, here's the serious version of her.
Yeah.
But even then, at the end, she's like, you wanna go smoke some weed or something? Right. Like Kevin Hart's the crazy.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan has the last OG.
Yes.
She's on it, and she's playing the straight. She's supposed to be the serious one, but you see, she has the moments of.
God, she can't help it. She's Tiffany
Haddish. Yeah, you can't hold it.
This show, what's it called again? David Makes Man is actually set in Miami, but being shots in Orlando. So there you go. I'm fine with that. Topher Grace played David Duke.
Yeah,
in Black Klansman.
Yes, he did.
Great job.
Mm-hmm.
Did a great job. Mm-hmm. Did good. I mean, he just had to, you know, say the N-word a few times and be a
this was his
be white.
No. After the movie that I will not name, this was his chance. It's like, you could come back, you just got to play a Klansman.
All right. No, right. Not just a Klansman. You have to play
the Klansman.
He's like, it can't be worse than the last one.
Yeah, play the Klansman.
And besides, it inspired him to do some great things.
He said making the movie depressed him so much that he re-edited the three Hobbit movies into one two-hour movie. And then he shows it to friends and stuff. That's what he does to relax. He edits movies into smaller movies. So, like, years ago, he re-edited the original Star Wars prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phantom Menace through Revenge of the Sith.
So it's just Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith.
No, those three movies. Then the one in the middle. The Clone. Yeah. But he edited the three into one, like, 2.5 hour movie. And then he did, like, secret screenings to show it to people. And then he got, like, a cease and desist from Lucasfilm. But then he recently did the same thing with Hobbit and he's shown that to people. Anyway, this is a different story. According to TMZ, Topher Grace is getting, somehow people are getting his number, and it's getting anonymous phone calls from people that are pretty much, you know, death threats. You know, what are you doing, man? Making this Black Klansman movie, blah, blah, blah. So that's how you know Black Klansman's working and is doing its job.
Yeah, somebody had to play David Duke.
Yeah. Someone had to play David Duke. So I was like, what are you doing?
Are they mad that he's playing the character?
Let's see if I can get the actual quote that he provides here. He says,
or do they actually think he's David Duke?
What did he say? Blah, blah. You know how they have to write this whole article based on like four words. So you already spoke to the police. LAPD is getting involved. Wow. According to the TMZ, received a troubling caller apparently called the actor a gay slur, and in an aggressive manner warned him that his role in Black Klansman was going to ruin race relations in America.
He's playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing a real person.
He's a real man.
He's a real person. The real thing.
From a real story. Like, they showed the real guy doing it, and it's hilarious.
Who is currently... It's hilarious. I'm pretty sure he's trying to run for Congress right now.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he 2016 he was running, because for some reason he felt empowered to run.
I wonder why.
I don't know why. It's strange. That's a weird thing. And in 2018, he still feels like, no, this is fine. That's a strange, strange thing.
Someone has to play the role, like,
and you know
it
what
has to be done.
Aggrieved white America doesn't like it, Alex.
Oh, nope.
They don't like it. They don't like when you just go, hey, white America, you fucked up. Wait, that's racist. Like, no, it's not racist to point out your racism. That's racist.
I think it was mad when they found out this all was a true story.
Yes.
That's the funniest. Like, no, this is not made up.
Not at all. That all really happened.
Man. No. And then, of course, David Duke is like, I'm afraid this movie is going to make you look like an idiot.
Well, because you are, David. You are an idiot.
This will be it. Okay.
Speaking of idiots. MoviePass.
MoviePass.
Good old MoviePass, as we call it around these parts. MoviePass. MoviePass, roadblock after roadblock that they put in front of themselves and then trip over. It's very funny. I tried to use it this weekend. Okay, here's actually, so on Saturday, I pulled up Movie Pass to see what movies I can watch. My only options were Slenderman and Alpha. And yeah. I was like, I don't want to see either of these movies.
Although,
but then on Sunday, we pulled up the Alpha Rotten Tomatoes score.
It's actually reviewed quite well.
It's actually reviewed quite well. I did a little more digging, Drew. It's actually not a Hughes Brothers movie, but one of the Hughes Brothers. The one that did Book of Eli.
Of course.
The good one.
Yeah.
Of course.
Albert Hughes, I think. So there's actually pedigree behind it. So
what the hell?
So now I gotta go see this damn Alpha movie.
Fuck!
But apparently I can use my Movie Pass for it because it's one of two movies that they let you use it for.
Oh, there you go.
That's pathetic.
It sucks what they're doing.
Because they were so good when even when I grabbed it.
Back when it was a Wild West of movie.
Yeah, you were like, oh, this is great. One movie a day, everything was great.
Even that was fine. When the limited, you only see one movie, a movie once? Okay, that's fine.
I
gotta repeat the movie.
I got a life, you know, I gotta do stuff.
Yeah, I got stuff. Yeah. Thank you. But now it's like, no, you can see nothing. You can see this one movie. You don't like it, screw you.
When The Meg came out, they were like, yeah, you can't see The Meg using this. I was like, and we're done.
Happened the week before Mission Impossible. Like, yeah. You can't see Mission Impossible. Yeah, like, we're done. What am I paying for? I'll do two things just like this. And the plummeting stock value got as low as 3 cents a share, I believe. As high as $9 a share after the stock split. Down to 3 cents a share. Shareholders, they're like, they saw all that money that they lost.
Gone.
Now they want their money back, Drew. Guess who's getting sued?
I don't think that's the way it works.
MoviePass, well, Drew, it is the way it's working. MoviePass is being sued by MoviePass shareholders. They want their money back.
What? But no, that's not the way you make an investment in a company that you believe in. Either you make the money or you lose the money. Yeah. That's the way it fucking works.
It does, but as a class action lawsuit, hundreds of thousands of people, blah, 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 look at this, to recover losses, false and misleading statements or material omissions from the parent company Helios and Matheson, basically arguing that they change the terms so much, they change the business model so much, and they change everything so much that what they bought into
is not what it was.
Right. They're calling fraud on the investment company Helios and Matheson.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Helios and Matheson is the name of a James Bond, like, conglomerate evil company.
Yes.
And the fact that anyone like this, we're gonna name our company Helios and Matheson, I'd be like, you get out of my office. Get out of my office.
I'd like terrible. To start a company called Cyberdyne.
Yes.
Man, nothing's gonna go wrong there. No,
no, actually some Japanese dude,
there's a guy who's already done it.
There's an old Japanese scientist who did, he's in cybernetics, that he called his company Cyberdyne.
Alright,
because it's the most obvious name to call your cybernetic company. And then he claims that he's like an 80 year old man. He's like, I don't know what the Terminator is.
Right. You know everything about that. Well, movie, sir.
You're playing the apocalypse. Like, doctor, you're doing that.
The movie came out when you were 50.
You should still know. I know it's Japan, but we have the internet now.
Hey, if I can pirate their movies, they can pirate ours.
Exactly.
He's too busy developing Terminators. I mean, robots. So, MoviePass sucks. Here we go. This story is... Oh, okay. Universal Studios are over here. We got Universal here in town. Mentioning them again. They have... AMC is the theater that they have there at City Walk.
Yes.
That deal is Kaputsky AMC, although sort of related to the last story. AMC, their A-stubs, their Stubbs A-list movie club thing that they did for the $20 a month, 3 movies a week. That thing is blowing up.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so, So AMC, they fought MoviePass the whole way, and now they're like, we're just going to take your model, and we're taking all the customers, and they're going to be loyal to our brand. Screw you, MoviePass. And then MoviePass is getting sued.
It's great.
I think it's hysterical. It's very Schadenfreude, but it's very funny. So AMC, I guess maybe they don't need all the contracts that they have going on because they did not renew their Universal Orlando contract. They are moving out. Cinemark is moving in. A Cinemark luxury movie theater is moving over there.
That makes sense because they're still going to get the same amount of people going into that fucking theater.
They don't care. It's a movie theater in CityWalk. Right.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't matter. Now with Cinemark moving into that theater, it's pretty cool. Even though it's a gigantic theater, it's like a 20-screen theater, and almost every screen is huge. It's pretty cool. It's also an older theater, built in the 90s. They didn't really haven't renovated it.
Well,
it's stadium seating, but it's also older chairs.
But that's what they're going to do. If Cinemark's buying in, they're going to gut the insides and put in the new seats with the tables and shit.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome new luxury lounger seats in all the theaters, as well as extendable footrest, cup holders, plush seating. I mean, they're doing it all. The theater is going to go through a couple months of renovations.
There's going to be a lot of stinky feet.
That's the worst part about the footrest.
It's the most disgusting thing. Motherfuckers should have take their shoes off in the theater now.
No, they do.
To me, I'm like, that's and it's too much. And it's at your knee level because
yeah, because you got a recliner. Scrape.
It's bad. Stinky feet. You people are fucking animals.
It's bad. People are gross. People are disgusting. Gross animals. It's bad. But so we're getting a Cinemark over at Universal. We'll see how that goes. The Argan is a Cinemark as well. That story, obviously, for our local yokels. Netflix, our final story, has canceled some shows. They're trying a lot of things. They're doing really well, it seems, with true crime series. Like Making a Murderer.
Or I'm a Killer.
I'm a Killer.
7 Seconds.
The Staircase. Yeah. All these shows like to get a little bit of buzz online. People are talking about them. There are dramas that are kind of hit and miss. You have your Stranger Things and your Ozarks, but then also a bunch of other shows that like that Will Arnett show. Lot of Flaked shit. Got canceled. And,
well,
like,
it was
a lot.
It was
shit.
Live action BoJack, and BoJack's infinitely better.
Yeah, just watch BoJack. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for that astute analysis, Mr. Cogburn. That is 100% correct. One thing Netflix I find interesting that they've been trying to make happen is the late night talk format.
Joel McHale, Michelle Wolf. I didn't watch Michelle Wolf.
You didn't watch Michelle Wolf?
Joel McHale it felt weird watching it one after the like it was
because it's meant to be consumed on like a weekly basis.
Yeah, like that where it's like because if it's not current like
it's not binge.
If I miss two episodes, I'm behind. I'm not going back.
It's weird.
It didn't work.
Let me see what happened on Desperate Housewives 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the jokes.
There's a Chelsea Handler had the late night show. David Letterman has his interview show.
Did they cancel his? Because his is good. Because
Letterman's show still going strong.
Because it's like it's just literally just one. They're also one guest focused.
I think the size of the guests that they're getting is ensuring that big enough show. Yeah. I mean, goddamn,
Obama.
Yeah, I mean, come on,
exactly.
Yeah, Jay-Z. He's literally the biggest names possible. Yeah. So, I think Letterman is fine. Yeah. Handler got canceled a while ago. Yeah. They are working on a new Chelsea Handler show, though.
Where she goes abroad, like
I think I don't know if she's going abroad. The only blurb I saw was that it's her take on white. What is a white privilege?
Okay.
So she's doing a show about white privilege, essentially, which is interesting. Funny that you mentioned Michelle Wolf and Joel McHale. Both of those shows have been axed. They were both canceled. I find it interesting that they canceled those shows because they seem pretty cheap to make.
It was nothing. No,
it's that person in a room.
Green screen.
With a green screen.
So you're paying, a person's salary.
It's a Tosh.0 budget.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So like, that's what reminded me of Tosh.0. So how bad were those shows, quote, ratings, viewership, that they decided to cancel those, but they're leaving all these other original shows on there that no one is watching?
Chris, we will never know because Netflix does not tell us.
They do not release their numbers.
I think they had a certain standard because, like I said, if you miss a week, all right, that's it. So I think show by show, they weren't getting the rating.
Yeah.
They would be like, once in a while, you pop in. Oh, that's good.
So they're seeing it wasn't like going up enough.
Yeah, just they need the binge watches. That's not a binge watch show.
It is not a binge watching show. It's just... That's a great observation. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, those shows are not binge watching because it's like, I wouldn't binge watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah.
No. If I miss a few of them, I would just pick up where I left.
I didn't see Sundays, but that I'm going to catch up.
Yes.
If I get to the next week, well, then it's too late.
It's like, it's like, what if Channel 13 Local News had all their shows up online?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, man,
I want Thursday's news. I want to watch the news from 3 Thursdays ago.
Oh, man. I missed the weather from Wednesday. Let me see. Oh, it was raining.
Oh, I remember that. It was raining.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's similar to like The Daily Show and that. It's like, if you miss a night, well, guess what?
You missed the night.
You missed it.
And then it's on again with all refreshed material. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's gone. We'll see if Netflix wants to keep trying with the late night talk format. If they try, see, it's Netflix, so they might as well just try something different.
They don't
care. Yeah, that's where you should be finding like the Eric Andre show and stuff
yes.
like that.
Yes,
right. Where yes. it's
quirky.
Like
where it's yeah. a fake talk show.
Yes,
that shit is not for real. It's not topical. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's going on.
Like Eric Andre, I could go back and watch old Eric Andres right now and then be entertained as
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah.
It's not because of who he's talking to, no. but it's because of how he's talking to him
and what he's doing. Yeah,
I think maybe comedians and cars getting coffee is similar because it's Seinfeld, so it's personality driven.
Mm. Well, they've also
and
been
unique enough that it's a whole car thing. And it's
Netflix
not a talk
has been
show.
Pushing their stand-up comedy a lot as well.
Oh, yeah, that's where
yeah.
you go now.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
that's where you go for stand-up yeah. comedy.
They've been pushing that stand-up comedy
some,
hard.
Some of it's good.
Because they make so much of it, it all can't be good.
No, yeah, like I said, right. some of it is too much.
You get a deal. You get a deal. Everybody gets a deal.
They can't be the Oprah of streaming networks.
Yeah. Except for Monique.
It's going to bite them in the butt. Poor Monique. She just wanted her cut. She's like, yo, I'm worth more than $200,000. I think Monique's worth more than $200,000.
Apparently not.
She's an Oscar winner. Meanwhile, they're giving comedians I've never heard of like specials. You know,
yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah,
I'd see it.
It's very true.
I'd watch the preview of a Monique special before I moved on to something else. You know, because I'm not watching any comedy specials. Stand-up comedy works better in a live environment anyway, right? Don't you?
It really. I mean,
like Russell Peters.
He's
I'll give
like the world's biggest comedian.
Yeah. He's, yo, he, the money he makes is, surpasses Kevin Hart.
Get out of here. It's ridiculous. Because it's worldwide.
Don't, yeah, don't get it. Yeah. He it surpasses Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
But he just keeps quiet about it.
No, yeah.
That's true.
And he's not flashy.
Yeah.
He's just doing his thing.
Yeah.
He's just doing it. It's not like, what's this guy? Brian Regan. He is one of the biggest comedians nationally.
Yes.
Who's this other one? Jimmy Gaffigan
yep.
is another
one.
Both these guys are gigantic when they go out, when they leave New York and L.A., yeah. they're selling out like arenas.
Yeah.
But then they go to like the Ha Ha Room in L.A. and it's like, no one's showing up here for you.
Well,
they
don't
care about you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, they don't care about him.
It's crazy.
But when he
Russell
goes.
Russell Peters is the same thing. It's like,
but when Jim Gaffigan,
okay, but
when Jim Gaffigan goes to fucking St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. They sold out the first show. They had to book a second one. Oh, yeah. Let's get tickets for that one then, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, they're star for good entertainment out there in those trash states.
That's what they remind me of. Like Tom Segura is another one that's like,
yeah,
and I think he's hilarious.
Tom Segura is hilarious.
He's really funny. I listen to his show.
I feel like Tom Segura.
I feel like Tom Segura is the R-rated version of Gaffigan and Regan.
I would say
all
so.
Kind of.
Yeah.
He's not bringing out the families, but he's still like popular.
Yeah. And he's just that serious. Just I'm gonna say what I want. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's I'm waiting for a television show from him. Just almost the way Louis C.K. had it.
I would like to see.
Tom Segura.
I would like to see him and Bert Kreischer get a show together.
I was about to say that would be great
because they got an interesting dynamic.
They do. They really do.
It's interesting stuff there. All right, well, there you go. I'm out of stories. That's the end of the episode. Tommy, Alex, thank you for joining us, guys.
Tim Jim.
Thank you so much.
Tim Jim.
Plug yourself, guys. Here we go. Start with Tommy.
First. Well, you can follow us at Second Rounds. On all social media, it's just
2ND.
2ND rounds, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Second Rounds NYC. Miss So Smooth, that's his name. I don't know. I'd like to know the story behind that. It's Second Rounds Florida. And yeah, just be sure to check us out. We got the main thing, the Who You Got Challenge.
Yes.
We just did two. In the past 4 days, we've got two out of the way.
Nice.
He's going to Tampa Bay MegaCon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to NY. We're going to New York Comic Con.
Very
you
cool.
know, it's funny because it's all hard to say New York City Comic Con. Because as far as we know, in New York City, that's ours.
Yeah.
Everyone else comes up. But no, it's for all of New York.
Yeah. It's
so it is New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con.
Jacob Javits Center.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's going to be fun. That's like on marquee. We're going to meet fans, have them vote.
Very cool.
So yeah, be sure to check us on our IG is our main thing. Of course, we go Facebook Live.
Yep.
The guys go on Saturday or Sunday, depending.
Yeah, it depends on how everyone's feeling. Yeah.
We go Thursday nights mostly. And of course, we got our sister show, The Phoenix Gate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Out the gate. Shout out to Jade Phoenix. So yeah, it's good.
Awesome. Yeah. People, check out those shows. We appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for coming by.
Awesome. Thank you.
Tommy, it's always good seeing you, sir. Thank
you.
Yes,
sir.
Drew, where's the one place people can find you on the internet?
Facebook stuff.
Facebook stuff, Instagram, and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Then.
No.
That's right.
Everything else, I've gotten off the internet.
Man, you're so close.
It's so odd,
I'm so jealous.
If it wasn't...
although...
Once this ends...
Yeah, once Crespo Diesel is done, you're done. I'm so jealous, although I do gotta say, I have my my secret Twitter account that I use just to follow, like, porn stuff and weed stuff.
PS4.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It still exists. What? You can actually see the porn stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
I follow an unhealthy amount of porn stars.
It's crazy on Twitter.
Unhealthy amount.
It's crazy on Twitter. It's bad. It's bad, bad, bad.
Drew's not even on Twitter.
You're not even on Twitter.
Asa Akira was a great follow on Twitter back in the day because she's very straight up about what she does and how she does it. And
they all are. All the porn stars are. It's a Wild West.
It is hilarious. Yes. It is hilarious.
It is. I actually do.
Yeah, like
a good chunk of it is comedy. Yeah, like what you're tweeting is like.
Asa Akira will like write a note to her mother about sucking black dick all day and post it on Twitter. And it's like, hey, mom, the fuck is going on?
Because it's a wonderful mother-daughter relationship.
It's weird. That's like, you see them hanging out with their family. Like, yeah. I saw one with their whole family. And I'm like, They all know what you did. And it's like,
have they all seen the same ones that I have?
Because cousin, after that last one, I wouldn't shake your
I
hand.
I can't look you in the face.
Yeah. It's just her job. Yeah. She's just like sucking the dicks.
What? They have normal lives.
It's just when they have sex, they have it with random people and they get paid for it.
It's not random. They have W-9s. They have resumes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's very professional. Yes. I give them that. It's very professional.
They pay taxes.
They're 8-hour days on their satellites, their boards, standing out of their mind, just trying to get to the end of the day. They got to take the weed break.
Trying to stay hard all day long. Yeah.
I've heard that's very difficult.
It's got to be.
Holy crap. Look, just when you watch your porn, just look at the Xanax eyes and the bright red Viagra boners and know that that's the reality of porn making. And you'll know that if you follow these ladies on Twitter.
I know now.
Yeah,
follow them. And the dudes too. Follow the dudes too because they got the story.
It's awesome. Nah, I was about to say.
I'm good.
Look, you're good. Look, it's porn. You're going to get bombarded with dicks.
Dick anything. So, no matter what. No matter what.
So you're going to get an occasional like dick only pig. Just go by it. All right.
Not if you only follow lesbians.
Like, that's the main. Okay. Well, there you go. Those are your Twitter following rules for the show. All right, guys, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Follow us on Twitter at Crespediso. Facebook group is Cinema Crespediso. And hey, you guys know that goddamn deal. Okay, and we are out of here.
A PFT Media production.